Welcome to the Seek Together podcast, presented by Dow. Together, we'll discuss how imagining a better tomorrow starts with asking bold questions, having honest conversations, and working together to tackle barriers in technology and in society. This is the Seek Together podcast. Thank you for tuning in.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Seek Together podcast, where we talk about the importance of collaboration to solve challenges and make progress in the space of product innovation, digital inclusion, and sustainability. Today, we'll talk about the value of material science in driving innovation in the context of sports, specifically to make the sporting events we all enjoy and love more sustainable. In this episode, we're joined by Bob Plischka, who leads sports marketing at Dow. Bob will be sharing how innovations in the sports space are helping drive meaningful action and turning entertainment into opportunity to create a more sustainable world. By looking at all the pieces involved in the production of major sporting events and through the power of material science, there is significant room to imagine a better future for our people and for our planet. We're also so pleased to have join us today Roger McClendon, Executive Director at Green Sports Alliance. Roger will be explaining the connection between sports and the environment, the power of shared resources and networks, and how collaboration between sports organizations, communities, athletes, and fans can drive greener solutions and contribute to sustainable progress. Welcome, Bob and Roger. It is such a pleasure to have you on the Seek Together podcast.
Thanks, Eva and Bob. Thank you for allowing me to be here. I'm very humbled with this opportunity, and I'm looking forward to the discussion.
Us too, for sure. Bob, I know we're all a little bit worried about how your celebrity status is just going to go through the roof after this podcast, turn an ordinary guy into a celebrity, but please do tell us a little bit about yourself, your role at Dow, and your connection to sports, both personally and at work.
Sure, I'd love to, and thanks for having me on today's broadcast. I've been with Dow 22 years. I've had a number of positions inside the company over that time frame and worked in a lot of different geographic locations. Currently, I lead sports marketing at Dow, and my connection to sports, I guess, does go back to, you know, my youth. I played youth soccer as a small boy, and then took to swimming as a teenager, and was a high school swimmer. I didn't pursue that at the collegiate level, though. Roger and I were talking about the commitments that swimmers have to make, and I'm definitely not a morning person, and those 5 a.m. workouts at the collegiate level weren't for me. But I then took up racquetball and played racquet sports for a little bit, and now, actually, at this stage of life, I'm learning how to play tennis, so... Although many people tell me the sport of the day is pickleball, so maybe I need to change my focus.
I was just going to say, a little easier on the joints, but I appreciate your will to go for tennis.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, sports has always been, you know, a part of my life, and my family enjoys sports and watching sports and attending sporting events, and it's great to be able to do this work in my professional life as well.
Very cool. Thank you for sharing. So maybe Bob didn't contribute too much to the environmental impacts, but Roger, at least to me, it's pretty clear how the sports industry may be impacting the environment. There's so much travel involved, equipment needed, waste and pollution produced at events, and we all clearly play a role in this. What I would love to hear about is GSA and your role in providing solutions to the environmental impact and why you are personally so passionate about all of us doing our part towards sustainability in the sports industry.
Thanks, Eva. And I want to build on Bob's, his history of sports, because I think when we really put this into context, sports has the power to go across boundaries, countries. You know, it's something magnetic about seeing the performance of athletes and what they do in this whole spirit of engagement. And I think that's really important to think about when we think about what the challenges are that we are facing. So I think to answer your question more directly, sports and venues and teams and leagues through the Green Sports Alliance is a convening organization to talk about those issues, to think about what we can do within our own operations, leveraging technology and innovation to minimize our own operational footprints. But we can do more than that, not just what we have responsibility for, but what we can influence through the megaphone of sports, you know, through looking at relationships with ESPN and other broadcasters, to the Yankees and the Dallas Cowboys and the other large mega sports, all the way down to colleges, universities, and high schools. So this fact is really important because I think it could give us the momentum we need to kind of get over the hump to accelerate to the positive change we want to see.
Yeah, I think everyone can identify with what you're talking about. People love to, even if they don't engage in sport themselves, they love to watch sports. And people get, you know, somebody just reminded me the word fan comes from fanatical. So it does reach sort of every level of society. In fact, earlier in the season, Bob, we talked on the mobility science platform with Tim Bovin of Dow and James Barkley of Jaguar. We got a taste of how Dow as a material science company can contribute to a cleaner environment in the context of racing. And today we're expanding on that conversation and talking about all sports and not just the ones that by their very nature seem to affect the environment like racing a car does. So I would love to hear from you how on a broader level Dow is using its expertise in innovation, collaboration, material science to really make a difference in all areas of sports. I know you mentioned tennis.
And so when we look at sports and we look at the sports governing bodies that we want to associate with, we kind of look at our own corporate ambition and where we're trying to go as a company and see, you know, where there can be a match. And we have quite an ambitious ambition, if you will, to be the most innovative, customer-centric, inclusive, and sustainable material science company in the world. Now, innovation is pretty straightforward. We have hundreds of PhD chemists and R&D colleagues, brilliant, brilliant individuals that know how to create the materials that enable the life that we have today and some of the life that we're going to have tomorrow, like, for example, the electrified powertrain. If we look at customer centricity, obviously we want to connect with our customers and put them at the center of our decision making and how we run our company. Inclusive speaks to our focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And of course, sustainability, which is why we're here today to talk about how sports can be more sustainable. So when we look at our participation in sports, we kind of connect on those, you know, pillars, if you will. And innovation talks about, you know, how material science can transform how sports are played. And we do that through or across a couple different dimensions that I'm sure we'll talk about in a moment. Impact is sustainability. And, you know, our work here and our work with our partners like GSA are helping to create a positive impact for society and the planet as sports are played and conducted around the world. And then we look at uniting people around sports. And that's the, you know, connects with our ambition of inclusivity and how Dow believes that putting time and effort and resources towards building a more inclusive world will pay dividends for all of us. But that's really how we kind of look at our participation in sports and how it connects back to what we're trying to achieve as a company.
There's a lot of brain power. You mentioned all the PhDs working on these material innovations to help bring sustainability to the forefront of the game. Roger, we can't get into more specifics. When it comes to sporting events, what does sustainability look like now and what opportunity is there for the future?
Yeah, I have to confess that I am a geek. So I am an electrical engineer by training, and I was able to work at a small company called PepsiCo and handle through Yum Brands and the spinoff, the restaurant company Yum Brands, and run their sustainability strategy for about 10 years. You know, my passion has always been sports. I played basketball at somewhat of a high level and a little semi-pro at the end. But I was really, you know, my personality was being a problem solver. And so I appreciate these PhDs and the ability to use science to progress, you know, like we said, society in a positive way. And so what I appreciate by Dow, and I'll just lay this on the table, was like, this is this material science company that has the ability to disrupt their own businesses to drive sustainability, not only for the benefit of the planet, but also for the benefit of their stakeholders, right? And so that challenge to kind of fit that, you know, piece into, you know, that overlap is really a challenge. And so that's what we appreciate about the partnership. When we get into where sports now and where they're going, they have to really understand the frameworks and kind of move beyond where they've been. I call it about just changing light bulbs. We have to go beyond just changing light bulbs and really understand through the supply chain, through our operational impacts, through the fan engagement, you know, really having a holistic approach through sports to figure out how do we can accelerate the change we want to see. And when I say it's beyond the lines of the field, it really is truly beyond the lines of the field. It's about the community engagement, excuse me, and the community impact and the social component that comes with it. So yes, we can look at scope one, scope two, scope three. Yes, we can leverage what I call disruptive innovation and new technologies around sustainability that you guys are developing, integrate that into the field of play, whether it's the stadium or whether how we deal with transportation to the stadium. And then where sports will separate itself, and I say sports and entertainment because we are working with some music industry side too, with AEG, Live Nation, OVG, and others to really influence the behavior of the fans, right? Because each of us have an opportunity to make a change in how we address this issue. And I so much appreciate the science side of it, but then also the practical application to understanding how it fits within business. So I'm excited to share, you know, some of the things that we're working on. We have a platform called Play to Zero, which is a collaborative partnership with the USGBC, which is the United States Green Building Council, who are the first ones to kind of create the LEED certifications for retail. We know retail is a huge part of the carbon emissions that we see. We also know transportation is a big part of that. So within retail, we leverage this platform that's part of a subsidiary called ARC. The platform is simple. It's how we bring in data because we're going to be driven decisions based on data. So all our energy, water, waste metrics and measurements we bring into that platform. We create our baselines with the teams and leagues and venues to understand where they are. Then we look at the gap analysis to where they want to go towards zero. And then we figure out through solutions provider applications that can get us there across those three metrics. We want to look at transportation and bring in social metrics to that platform as we evolve. And we already have about 50 or 60 teams and leagues around the country to participate in this. And the last thing I'll say is we stand on that platform of playing for the next generation, because that's really where it's going to end up, is engaging our youth and really creating that awareness for change. So,
first of all, I didn't actually know I was on with a couple of celebrities, you know, somebody who would contemplate swimming in college, just didn't want to wake up that early, a basketball superstar. Pretty cool. You know, it, like you said, we have to address all of our constituents' needs, stakeholders, employees, the people who patronize us. They all are demanding these sustainability efforts. And so I really appreciate both of your efforts in this vein. Bob, you referred earlier to some of the specifics. I want to get into that. Dow has been working really hard to shape the future of sporting events. And please do elaborate on some of the things that you're doing.
We kind of look at where we can make an impact across three primary dimensions: the venue where the sport's played, right? Items and equipment and apparel, so what the athletes use to play their sport and maybe what they dress in. And then finally, in partnerships and how we can build partnerships in traditional and non-traditional ways to drive sustainability. So I'll just give you a few examples in each bucket to frame up what we can do on our side and what our brilliant chemists and PhDs that we've mentioned work on. I'll give you one example here on sports surfaces. So we've got a product called EcoGround, which is a water shedding technology, and it's very useful for safety and to return sports surfaces to playing condition faster than traditional coating. So we use it on tennis courts, we use it on running tracks, and we've piloted this technology in tropical locations like Singapore, where there's a lot of rain and a lot of moisture, and where, you know, athletes want to participate in their sport and they want to do it as fast after a rain event as possible. So EcoGround delivers that kind of safety component with this, hydrophobic, properties. That's a little bit of science there. And I'm a journalism major, so I've learned a lot here at Dow over my time. But that's what EcoGround does.
You're not quite as geeky as Roger.
No, not quite, but it's sunk in, you know, over the years. I haven't said that. LED lighting, right? We know the power of LED lighting in our own homes to cut electrical costs and emissions from power plants, which is where we get our electricity. But LED lighting has a tremendous energy saving impact in stadiums and racetracks and other large venues that require night illumination. So if you think about impact in the community, we've got a waterborne coating system that we have implemented in the city of Philadelphia to paint the walking and bike paths through the entire city. And that is a very environmentally friendly coating that allows, you know, people to move themselves around the city, you know, in a zero carbon fashion, whether that's biking or running or walking. And so those are just some examples on the venue side. If we look at items that are used in the sport itself, we've got a couple interesting examples. One is a cotton dyeing technology that we call EcoFast. And that product enables 90% less chemicals to be used in the production process for fabric. So we're talking, you know, 50% less dyes, the color component, 50% less water used in the production of those fabrics, and 40% less energy. And we've used this with, you know, U.S. Olympic team in their apparel that they have worn at the Tokyo Games in 2020. So those materials and those fabrics were worn by our Olympics, our Olympians here in the U.S. For the opening and closing ceremonies. And I'll give you another example in the world of tennis. We partnered with our customer Wilson to produce the Trinity tennis ball. And the Trinity tennis ball kind of rewrites the book, really, on tennis balls that goes back multiple decades. These tennis balls are made with a proprietary elastomer from Dow. They result in a four times longer fresh ball feel, what tennis players will call the fresh ball feel, which is that the ball has a certain level of liveliness and spring and bounce to it and a certain predictability on the court. And that means that you can use the balls much longer, right? So you're using less balls over time. But the other thing that Wilson was able to do, because these balls don't require gas pressurization, anybody that's played tennis knows when you pop that tennis sleeve open, you hear a little, psh, you know, and you hear that gas release, and that's what gives the ball its playing characteristics. Well, Trinity golf balls don't require gas pressurization. So as a consequence, they don't have to be packaged in a plastic sleeve. So Wilson packages those balls in a 100% recyclable paper sleeve. And so that reduces plastic waste going into our landfills and sometimes ultimately into the environment where we don't want to see plastic waste. So that's an example of like a product technology that we have been able to deliver in the world of tennis.
That's fantastic. I grew up playing tennis too. Serena's going to be a little upset that she just retired.
Yeah, no, they're it's a phenomenal product. And, you know, a lot of players on the USTA circuit have had a chance to trial it. And they like it. And then I'll just give you one example. You know, we'll talk about Geo Foundation a little bit later in the broadcast as it relates to our participation with the LPGA. But we did team up with them to develop an app called OnCourse. And this app is 100% cloud-based, and it allows golf tournaments to develop and create their own sustainability strategies for their tournaments so that we can take actionable measures to make golfing events more sustainable over the long term. But it's developments like that, and you see they kind of span a lot of different areas, right? One's IT-based, the other's product and technology material-based, and then some others are, you know, designed around the venue itself where sports are played. But all of them, you know, result in a lower footprint, a lower impact to our environment, to our communities, and to the locations where sports are played and conducted.
I can't wait for you to come out with a clothing line for me. This sounds fantastic, all of it. You know, Bob, you mentioned partnerships, and I think that that's really crucial. That's why we have this podcast, because we want to invite everybody to the table. But just based on the two of you, what you've talked about, your focus, your mission, your expertise, it seems like this partnership between Dow and GSA was just an eventuality. So I would love to hear from you, Roger. Talk to me about that partnership. How did it come about? What are some of the things that you're doing together?
Yeah, I'm going to put more pressure on Bob. He's holding out on me. All these solutions, you know, we got to get them out there. You know, no, really, it's a great opportunity because we see the stakeholder engagement as a huge part of this. And so we have trust because we've been around for 12 years, you know, and our founding was based on really an authentic relationship. And it's not to push people out in the space that they're not comfortable with. It's to meet people where they are in their journey. It's to be authentic with commitments, to get people comfortable with how do they do this? Because they're athletes and they're running an entertainment business. They're not really the scientists that have the solutions and understand how to integrate that into the business proposition. And so that's part of the challenge. I think the other challenge is, you know, in the political spectrum, this is it's not even a political issue, right? Whether you're on this spectrum to the left or the right, this is about solving problems that are for the next generation and that we're bringing value and value creation to be able to do this. And I think in a responsible way. So when we think about the ESG framework and then bringing that all the way down into the sports industry, we have equal responsibility to be leading on that, right? And so having people comfortable with what those metrics look like, you know, how do I engage, and then how do I deliver the solutions within my operational platform is really important. So we're in the center of that because they do trust us. We have a convening organization of over 300 members. We started in 2011. And so for the NBA, the NFL, MLB, they trust us and need that engagement. And we need solutions providers through that stakeholder engagement to bring real life actionable solutions. And so you go from making commitments to action. And I think we're in the age of action because based on what the scientists are telling us, we are under tremendous time pressures, right? So now what can we actualize? What can we really do? And I love how Bob framed it, talking about the venue, talking about the materials and the equipment that folks use. Then game day, you know, what can we do to inspire fans to do the transportation, like public transportation, and make sure I'm on a rail line where my facilities are. So all those things are really important. And I'd like to highlight just the college football playoffs, which I'm not sure if you know, and the Bearcats, who I'm a fan, did get to the Final Four last year.
Oh, so did Michigan.
That's right. And so
before we got stomped by Georgia, but you know, that's neither here nor there.
We got knocked off by Alabama too. But we were at the game, not to watch the game. We were there supporting their Playoff Green initiative, which is their environmental initiative around college football playoffs. So we're in the stadium in Indianapolis, and literally with 70,000 fans, part of our job was to open up every bag of waste to separate, sort, and get the raw materials where they need to go. Now, in Indianapolis, unfortunately, partnering with Keeping Indiana Beautiful, which is part of Keeping America Beautiful, the recycling rate is around 8%, right? Which is not great, you know. But we were able to divert 80%, about 117,000 tons of waste to be used as new materials. We were able to capture turf that was used in the Expo Fan Engagement Center and get that to Habitat to Humanity and then get it into a high school on the field that they could be used versus it going into a landfill. So the action and then the food side of it, capturing meals, because we have a hunger issue in this country. Unfortunately, the richest country in the world, we have people that are, you know, looking for a meal because they can't afford a meal, food insecure, and so in children as well. So we were able to go to the local communities, capture that food before it would go into waste in a very sustainable and healthy way and get it into the hands of people that needed it. And then outside the lines of the field, we were able to give back into the community and figure out a legacy program through an orchard and then create a $35,000 scholarship for the next sustainability student at IUPUI. So working with the host committee. So this collaboration in partnership with Dow, and I know this is what we want to talk about, is how do we leverage that? How do we do more of that? And then how do we bring those solutions to life in application to get us closer to zero? So, yeah, I just wanted to share a little bit of that.
Yeah, it takes a village. And clearly you have all these great ideas, grand ideas. And it takes, you know, working with the venues, working with the sports teams, working with Dow, who has all that brain power to make sure that you can effectuate all these changes as well. Bob, I would love to know how you see the partnership with Green Sports Alliance. I know that you have found great value in it. Tell me how it's helped further Dow's sustainability goals in the sports industry.
So we became a major partner of the LPGA and LET, the Ladies European Tour, now almost 5 years ago. And one of the primary goals was to host a preeminent tournament right here in Midland, Michigan. And in the 2019 year, which was the first year of our tournament, you know, we became the first ever geo-certified tournament in LPGA history. And the Geo Foundation is an expert in the running of sustainable tournaments and sustainability in golf, and they, you know, bestow that certification upon us. So a third party, you know, looking at our behaviors, our actions, the intentionality that I think Roger was just speaking to of designing the event for, you know, reuse and recycle, right? And that's how we designed the Great Lakes Bay Invitational, which is the name of our tournament. And that same year, the inaugural year, we won the LPGA Tournament of the Year. And that's the first time that that award was ever bestowed by the LPGA on a first-year tournament. But the journey didn't stop there. That was really just the beginning. That was the first year. In 2021, we became the first ever LPGA tour to achieve carbon neutrality. Now, how do we do that? Well, it's a lot of work up front, but it's also a lot of hands-on activity during the event. And where we need to get, I think, as a global society, is to have material and resource efficiency as part of our mindset going in, and design systems that can be automated or that can help speed the work that needs to be done. And we work across the same areas that Roger mentioned. So just a couple statistics to bring it home. But 70% of the waste that was generated by our tournament was recycled or reused. And that was a 10% improvement over 2019, which was our inaugural year. We donated 4,307 pounds of prepared food that was unused at the event. And we donated to Hidden Harvest and to other regional nonprofits, 24 regional nonprofits here in the mid-Michigan area. We used a tremendous amount of carpeting for our viewing decks and the viewing stations that are required for golf tournaments. And we used a lot of mesh fencing to line off, walkways and to provide safety for fans and to direct fans around the course. And 80% of that was recycled, nearly 4,000 pounds of carpeting, repurposed into various venues, like Roger mentioned, with Habitat and others. So, but how does that happen? That happens through people, doing the hard work, manually sorting, manually, sifting through and looking for materials and putting those materials in collection devices so that they can be recycled, either through mechanical recycling or other processes like advanced recycling that Dow's working very hard on bringing to life and making a reality. And it's material neutral, right? We want to have resource efficiency across metals, across glass, across paper materials, and of course plastics, which we know can be infinitely recyclable if we work as a society to put in the right infrastructure. These are proof of concept times, right? We have to demonstrate it can be done, and we have to demonstrate it can be done through any means possible. And that's, I think, what you heard from Roger, and that's certainly the strategy, I think, that we've implemented with the Great Lakes Bay Invitation.
What are you both looking to accomplish in the future? And what would be the opportunities for others to join in on that? What kind of expertise would you like? What kind of help would you like? Why don't we start with you, Roger, because you're our guest outside of Dow. What are you looking to do together, and how can other people help?
It's beyond the lines of the field, and it's also about the fans, but it's also about infrastructure. It's not just about sports. It's about our communities and how we live and how we operate, work, and live and play every day to make that sustainable. They're thinking about cities. So it's the acceleration, it's scale, and it's the true impact, that we want to see. That I think starts with these examples that Bob said. It's an investment for a lot of folks to do that. We can do it in a signature event, but can they do it every day? And I think that's what we're trying to prove with technology and innovation, to make sure that it fits with the economics and the economic model that a lot of these folks have. I'm super excited about our partnership, Bob. Really, I am, because as you guys are demonstrating this with the GEO Foundation, as we think about FIFA and the World Cup, the Super Bowl, college football playoffs, I think there's ways to share those stories and to bring that innovation and collaboration to life. We also do seminars, webinars, workshops, our own kind of form of communication with our membership base to bundle up these playbooks, to show them the how, and to share that through those means and through those channels. We need to follow it all the way through. We need to have third-party certifications. We need to make sure that we're delivering to what we commit to, and do it in a real holistic, inclusive way.
That is fantastic. I mean, if you see it, you can be it. And that is what both of you are doing. You're providing these examples so that we know that it can be a reality. Bob, I would love to hear from you too, these last thoughts on what you're looking to accomplish as a partnership and with the input of everybody else going forward.
Yeah, I think what Roger said is spot on. I mean, you have to zoom way out and think about the design of the facility. A lot of places around the world are building new facilities, you know, for their premier sports leagues. And so it starts at the very beginning. You know, how are you going to design the facility? Where is it going to be located? Access to public transit, particularly in the U.S., is a challenge, not so much in other economies like Western Europe. But, you know, those are things that are carbon, you know, cutting right off the bat, right? How do fans access the facility? Obviously, there's economic drivers at work, and that's fine. You know, to run the facility at a lower total cost because you're using less energy, that's fine, right? We don't need to be embarrassed about that or make any excuses if you're a facilities operator or you're a municipality or some other type of governmental agency that's building a new facility. And then it's, you know, the materials inside, right? So another great example is the synthetic turf playing surface. And Roger can probably tell us how many stadiums now have a synthetic surface. But, you know, Gen 1, if you think about it, AstroTurf of the 80s, well, today's synthetic surface is light years ahead in terms of complexity, in terms of player experience, in terms of player safety, mm-hmm. right? And knee injury and other injuries that players had suffered for many decades. And it's less energy intensive. You know, natural turf requires a lot of water. It requires a lot of fertilizer, requires a lot of carbon inputs. Then it's game day or it's event day. In the case of a concert or something like that, how do you manage your waste streams? How do the fans behave when they're there? Do they understand what to do and how can they help do their part? And then, you know, when the lights go out and the event's over and you're back there sorting compost, I mean, that's the Lord's work right there to make sure that things go to the right place and that you don't lose one truck because that affects the outcome of the whole event and what you're trying to achieve and what you're trying to demonstrate can be achieved.
So, Roger, you mentioned how sports reaches such a broad audience. And so there's such an opportunity for people to follow in the arena of sports in terms of sustainability. It made me think of how not only do we all love to, you know, go to sporting events and things like that, but a lot of us really look up to the athletes, the superstars. How do you think superstar, I guess, involvement could impact the future of sustainability?
Yeah, I think the athletes have a huge role and opportunity, not necessarily an obligation because all of them feel like they, you know, should control their own lives and what they want to stand up for. The most important thing, and I have a daughter who's a four-time All-American at Penn State and plays on the professional circuit in volleyball.
And okay. They
have a platform called Athletes Unlimited where they allow them to speak their voice. It's part of what they expect, which I think is fascinating. And I think it's the future to really create with the league, with the players, authentic platforms to discuss these issues in a real way. It's not just shut up and dribble anymore. It really is to truly speak your voice. And I know, Bob, you've got some great athletes on your side that are actually living that truth, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, from a company point of view, your authenticity and the transparency has to permeate your entire focus on sports, right? And so we have sports ambassadors, you know, as many do, and all of our golf ambassadors, and we have five, have committed to becoming sustainable golf champions, right? Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that they're going to actively commit to minimizing and offsetting their travel where they can, calculating their own carbon footprints, and trying to compensate for unavoidable emissions, and then committing to communicate about their journey to inspire others to do the same. So, you know, from a company point of view, I would say to others that are, you know, looking to bring sports into their way that they reach a broader swath of society, you know, think about all the relationships that you build in the context of sports and being true to what you're trying to do and achieve through each of those dimensions, not just, you know, on the product or technology side or on the venue side or through pure sponsorship, which is how many, many companies engage.
I think it's just great for both of you, all the work that you're doing, but also the visibility you're bringing to the fact that this is the wave of the future. And the more that everyone knows about this and talks about it, so everyone on this podcast, send it to everybody else, the more that we can all play a part and get invested into it. So Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a fantastic conversation. I am so inspired. Sometimes I get a little mired in what's happening in the environment, and you all truly, truly give me hope. So thank you for that.
Well, Eva, thank you. And I just wanted to make one last comment on our side is that we think this has such huge potential working across the stakeholder engagement part of it with a partner like you guys that bring science to the table and real solutions to the issues that we face. And I also want to say in broad context, it is about people, you know, it's about health and wellness. Mm-hmm. It's about diversity, equity, inclusion, making sure everybody's included. And it is about our planet and the environment. And so looking at it through that context and that lens, I know we'll be successful leveraging science. That's the answer and that's the key. And it's great to have a partnership with you guys.
Thank you so much, Roger.
We're all about collaboration. So anybody that's listening to today's broadcast, if you've got a brilliant idea or you want to work with Dow or you want to work with GSA, reach out, get a hold of us, and we'd be happy to talk to you and learn from others, because it's all about collaboration across all these audiences to bring all these ideas to, you know, to practical application.
Yeah, perfectly said, both of you. And it doesn't even have to be a brilliant idea, or you don't know that it's brilliant just yet. An idea, bring it to the table, right?
Yep. Great.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Roger, Bob.
Eva.
This has been a pleasure. To our listeners, we want to hear your thoughts about today's episode. So please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you listen on. Thank you for listening to the Seek Together podcast, and we hope you will join us again next time. I'm your host, Eva Saha.
This is the Seek Together podcast. Thank you for tuning in.